looking back, they were probably expecting us to come up with, I don't know, a coffee table or a magazine rack or something like that. And what we actually came back to them with was a hammock bath and a swimming pool slide. The original idea was for a pool slide, and the idea was that it would come out of the ground at a single point, and it was like a chute of water that, like, kind of like frozen in time, like an arc of water that was then solid. But you would climb up the back and slide down the front, and it was a pool slide. And we'd never made a pool slide before. We'd never even thought about pool slides before. We'd never done anything like it. It's just that it was a fun idea. We thought it looked really cool. And here we are.
Welcome to the Pool Chasers Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Biafania, joined by my co-host, Justin the Bearded Plumber Bowie.
Yes.
Today, we've got a very special guest all the way from the United Kingdom. We have Miles Hartwell of Splinterworks. Thanks for being with us, Miles. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Nice to meet you. So tell us a little bit about Splinterworks and where you're located in United Kingdom.
Well, Splinterworks itself, I mean, the potted history of Splinterworks is, to give you the story, I have to kind of veer a little away from pools and pool slides, which is obviously why you've got me here, and kind of take you back to the beginning of the company, which was very much, well, in the early kind of 2000s, there was a movement in like furniture design called design art, which was a movement that was really interesting, and that were lots of people who were making furniture that was as much about the aesthetic and like an artistic interpretation as it was functionality. And that was the kind of beginning of Splinterworks, which is probably well, you may be wondering why a pool slide company would have a name like Splinterworks. I mean, it is the worst name for a slide company. I mean, like, honestly, if we had our time again and we knew where we were headed, I think we'd have thought differently about that name. But yeah, the genesis of the company is in woodwork, and that's where that name comes from. So it's evolved a lot over the years, quite evidently. But essentially, at the heart of it, we still make works of functional sculpture, and that is essentially at the core of everything we do. It's just that we've evolved from doing furniture to mainly doing pool slides now. And you know, I love furniture as much as the next guy, but it's pool slides are way more fun. So, you know, it's a kind of interesting business in that way. So. Yeah, and in terms of where we are, yeah, I'm sitting here, I'm looking out the window here. We're based in Bath, England, which is an old town in England. It's kind of mostly built in the 1700s, so it's a very traditional, very beautiful city. It's actually a World Heritage Site, so it's very protected as well. They do a lot of filming. Period dramas, that kind of thing here. Bridgerton, I don't know if you guys have had that over in America, but yeah, it's all that kind of... No.
No.
Yeah, no.
Watch The Crown.
Fine. The Crown, okay, yeah. Pride and Prejudice, yep. That kind of thing. Yeah, that all gets filmed. It's fine. Okay, it's fine. Yeah. So we work all over the world. You know, so we're based in the UK, but we do a lot of work in the US. And then, yeah, we tend to work in sort of high-end residential projects. So kind of where you can imagine there are beautiful homes. That's kind of where we end up. So kind of run along the sort of south of France and Spain and Italy, down the sort of Mediterranean, obviously a little bit in the Middle East, that kind of thing, as well as domestic projects here in the UK. So
we don't need a full-on history lesson here, but after doing some research of, you know, Bath in the UK, it was saying that it's one of the original bathhouses, you know, originating from like the Roman times. And I just thought it was so cool. And I'm like, pool slides, you know, with that history, did you strategically move there, or, you know, how did that?
I wish I could say that was like some big master plan strategy move, but it really wasn't. No, when Matt, my business partner, and I started the business, we were based near a town called Guildford, which is just south of London. And about 8-9 years ago, we decided to move, and we all just moved west. Me and my wife, I was born and bred in Bath, and that's kind of really what
brought us in this direction. So, yeah, but the baths that you mentioned are, I mean, probably 300 yards in that direction.
Oh, wow.
And they're, yeah, I mean, they're like, they're not operational anymore, and you can't go in there, but you can go and take a tour and have a look around. Yeah, they're old Roman, it's a real Roman bathhouse. I mean, it's amazing. It's still pretty much intact as well. They did actually, people were still allowed to go in and actually use the baths up until the kind of 70s. And in fact, my father-in-law, yeah, used to go to parties in there.
Oh,
the 60s and 70s. Yeah, it's quite, looks quite fun. But yeah, you can't get in the water anymore. So,
wow.
Yeah, plumbing's a little outdated.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but they've got, I mean, like, if you're interested in plumbing, I mean, the whole, it's amazing. The kind of the, they've got all the, what's it called? For hypercausts, yeah, where you have like all the kind of heated, underneath the floor to create essentially a kind of a heating system that kept the whole building warm. And it's very, I mean, incredible stuff, really. And as you can tell, I'm not the expert. You need to come see it for yourself.
You're doing great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perhaps a little step away from being a tour guide there.
Nice. So what? Where'd the idea for the slide come from? So you said you guys originated in the furniture space, kind of moved into slides. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see the sort of full body work we do, but the other sort of piece I haven't mentioned yet is we're quite well known for hammock bathtubs. So we make these baths that are suspended and don't touch the floor; they just hang from the walls. The reason I'm telling you that is because the two are kind of intertwined. So we were doing furniture, and we got approached by a company that was making carbon fiber parts for racing cars, essentially. And the racing car industry, they were doing a lot of stuff like Formula One, which can be very intense for like a couple of days a week, and then just completely drop off, and they can have a lot of kind of expensive equipment and very talented people kind of stood around doing not a lot, and then they'll get like a brief that they've got to change, I don't know, the rear wing needs to change by, you know, 5 degrees or something, and it has to be done like in 8 hours kind of thing, and like all those, you've got a lot of equipment set up to do that, and they wanted something to make on their downtime and just do something when they weren't really in that kind of that mode of kind of frantically producing things, so they could actually have the product. And they asked us to come up with some ideas for things that they could make. And I guess, looking back, they were probably expecting us to come up with, I don't know, a coffee table or a magazine rack or something like that. And what we actually came back to them with was a hammock bath and a swimming pool slide. And I think they were just like, what the... is going on here? Yeah, these guys are crazy. But yeah, we Matt and I were working, we're looking at this carbon fiber and just kind of learning about its characteristics in terms of its materiality and what it can be done and what it can be used for. And it's essentially a cloth in its pure form before it's cured. I mean, carbon fiber is just it's just a fabric. And that's what led to this. I had the idea of the hammock bath because we were kind of thinking, what's made out of fabric that actually, if it was solid, would be really cool. And we were tossing loads of ideas around, but then we kind of thought about a hammock and how cool that'd be if it was solid. And then it was like, oh, you could turn it into a bath. And then it was like, oh, hammock bath. And that was that idea. And about an hour later, we were sort of, this conversation was continuing. And one of the things about carbon fiber, I'm sure you're aware, but I'll just say it for your listeners' benefit, is that it's extremely strong and light. So we were kind of playing around with ideas of what you could do with if you had this material that was so strong and could be free to be moved around and positioned in a way that you could kind of play around with balance and perception of balance. And we were looking at creating something that would overhang a long way. And because it's so light and strong, you could actually get kind of a big cantilever on it. And we were kind of throwing ideas around for all sorts of things, but we came up with this. The original idea was for a pool slide, and the idea was that it would come out of the ground at a single point, and it was like a chute of water, that like kind of like frozen in time, like an arc of water that was then solid, but you would climb up the back and slide down the front, and it was a pool slide, and we'd never made a pool slide before. We'd never even thought about pool slides before. We'd never done anything like it. It's just that it was a fun idea, we thought it looked really cool. And here we are.
So the first iteration of the slide was carbon fiber?
It was carbon fiber, and it was pretty much launched at the same time as the hammock bath. It's just like, the hammock bath got picked up in the right channels very, very quickly, like very quickly, and got pulled into the market. Whereas the pool slide, it took a while, if I'm honest, for us to find the first client for that. And part of the reason, I guess, is because it was so expensive.
Sure.
Because you had to make it, you had to make molds and all this kind of stuff. And it was extremely expensive to make this thing in carbon fiber. Not least of which I should mention that we were going to cover the whole thing in silver leaf. So it was going to be gilded silver. So the whole thing would look like a reflective kind of drop of water, was the idea. And I can't remember the exact figures, but basically we had no portfolio of pool slides. And we just had this one idea of these computer renders. And we were asking, quite a lot of money for this thing, and every time anyone inquired about it, the inquiry went cold pretty quickly because of the price. But then there's this great guy, our first actual client for a pool slide was a guy down in Boca Raton, Florida, who he loved the idea so much that he kind of really encouraged us to overcome the price point. He was very committed to the idea, and he made it quite clear that he would go for this if we could figure out how to make it at a different price point. And it was really encouraging. So we kind of worked on that for a while. And the first one was not carbon fiber, essentially. And we've not done a carbon fiber pool slide because of all the reasons I gave earlier. So the first one was actually made in fiberglass, like most of the other pool slides in the world. But it did follow the basic principles of it came out the ground from a single point. Just had a lot of reinforcement inside to keep it sturdy and strong. And that was in 2015, I think we made that. I mean, I think we probably worked through the better part of 2014 and 2015 to get that. I think we actually installed it in late 2015 from memory.
So first one, States? Did I hear that right?
It's in the States. Down in Florida. It's great, actually. It's quite fun because it's actually no longer on our website now because we've kind of... I'll tell you the story because it's quite funny. We made this thing, we installed it, we took photos of it, we took a video guy down there, filmed it all, put this thing out into the web as it is, and immediately just got such a great response. I mean, like, people had never seen anything like it. We had inquiries after inquiries, but it became quite apparent to us quite quickly that this pool site didn't meet any safety code whatsoever. I mean, like, it was a fun idea, and no one's ever been hurt on it, but it was not. We made a good decision very quickly, so we would actually like slow down and try to figure out, because if you the safety code's there for a reason, obviously, but if you follow the safety code to the letter, you can kind of see why all pool slides are ugly, basically. Mm. Okay. So it's an engineering problem it's a safety problem that engineers have dealt with, and they've done a fine job, but they're not aesthetically pleasing, these things. And so it took us quite a while. I mean, from that first pool slide in 2015, obviously we then made the decision that we're not going to start selling things that don't meet safety code. And I think it took us 2 years to then figure out how to incorporate the safety code into a beautiful sculptural object. Because let's face it, one of the reasons we're in business here is because the pool side, even with a very active family, will probably be used 1% of the time. The rest of the time it's there, it's in your backyard, you're looking at it, and there's plenty of pool slide companies out there who make perfectly adequate slides, but I think they're not necessarily the nicest thing to kind of look at for the rest of the day when the kids aren't using them. And so this is where we come in, really. We're kind of selling a piece of art, really, that elevates your landscape, and that's really what separates Splinterworks apart from everyone else is that artistic element. Yeah. Sorry, I'm rambling on now, but I'm trying to get across it. It was pretty tricky to get all that safety code into a curvaceous sculptural body. But now we've figured it out, now we know it. It's kind of second nature to us now, but it was quite difficult to start with.
I noticed on your website that, you know, one of your favorite architects is Heatherwick, and, you know, he's genius, but I love what he talks about in bridging that gap of, you know, form and function, but the emotional part of it, because a lot of stuff being designed today, it's not, you know, it could be, you know, kind of minimal and cold, whereas he's designing stuff that's got a lot of, you know, plant, and he wants it to stand the test of time. He wants it to be something that can stay up forever. You know, he's building hospitals and different things like that. They're a place you actually want to be in, the family that the families actually want to go there and visit it, not just some like cold white wall place. And when I see, you know, these futuristic looking slides that are crazy cool, that's what I think about. You know, when you're looking in the backyard, do you want to see a slide that just looks like a hunk of plastic that's going to get eaten up by the sun in a year? Or do you want to look at this sculpture that it just so happens you can slide down it fast, and it's legal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for you to mention this in the same sentence as Heatherwick is quite an accolade, and one we probably don't deserve, but what Heatherwick does is plays with shapes that they can have more than one function. I mean, like making people smile seems to me like one of the functions of his design. Are you familiar with his spun chair? Is that something you know? It's like a chair that like spins around me. Like, yeah, if you've ever sat in one of them, you can't sit in that without smiling. You can't do it. And in the same way, we often kind of think in house that you can't go down a slide without smiling. I defy you to. It's just fun. But there is this side to it, like you say, that it's more than that, and we're not following any kind of design fashions or trends. This is, I think, they stand alone with their own integrity as a standalone piece, and that I'd like to think that the work that we produce will still be there for generations to come, because there's no reason to pull it out. It's not going to be like, oh God, that slide is so 1980s or whatever, let's get rid of it. It's kind of there. It's a shining piece of sculpture, and you know, it in that respect it should last generations. And they fit in with all kind of aesthetics. That's the other thing. They work just as well in a modern setting, in a kind of super modern, like white box, like you've just described, as it would, you know, a kind of traditional, kind of Spanish style kind of villa. And you could have it'll work in both respects. I mean, partly because it reflects everything that's around it, so kind of polished surfaces of the metal. You're not looking at a lump of plastic. It's basically giving you back everything in your environment. So if you've got blue skies and green grass, you'll see blue and green. Yeah, that's the color of the slide in your backyard. Yes, there's no, I'm going off on a tangent now, but it there's no real need for these things to kind of age as a piece of design stuck in time. Hopefully they do have a slightly more artistic level than that.
What was the challenge to make it safe anyway? I know that's you mentioned that. Is it mostly the size or what is it? What's the measure?
The American rules themselves are like that thick kind of like,
sure.
Yeah. But we were obviously based in Europe. We wanted to combine both. So we weren't just trying to meet American code. We wanted to meet European code as well, and so that's adds a layer of complexity to it, because there is some, it's not totally contradictory, but there are some elements that kind of don't necessarily play with each other very nicely, and you have to get over that. At the end of the day, if I was to put it in like the very simplistic terms, the safety of the slide relates very closely to how deep the pool is, how high above the surface of the water you exit the slide, and how fast and at what angle. And that there's all those kind of things that you have to figure out, and they all affect each other ever so slightly. But you've got to, it's a lot to do with. You can pretty much do what you want on the slide. It's all about leaving the slide and what happens to you thereafter. And that's kind of logical, right? I mean, that's a bit that makes sense. But there is certain stuff when you're going down the slide to do with, you know, I know how far up the side of the sidewall you're going to come when you're coming around the corner. There's also a lot of stuff to do with the steps and the safety to do with climbing the slide, which all are fairly logical to some degree. Some of it's a bit, some of it's a bit rigid, but yeah, those are the challenges really. And there's a bunch of other stuff that's to do with things like materiality and safety to do with, you know, how strong materials are, but that's pretty. We pretty much have that covered just because we're using stainless steel. So,
are there as many regulations in the UK? I mean, I know your guys' weather is very unpredictable and overcast, rainy, cloudy 90% of the time. So I'm assuming
it's... Well, you know, that brings with it a whole new level, because we actually have, it's not so much the regulations, but we do a lot of indoor pools here. So that's probably something you guys don't have to deal much with in Arizona.
It is.
But... Yeah, it's a swimming pool in a building.
Oh my God, Great Wolf Lodge. Yeah, there we go.
And actually the challenges there are more to do with getting the thing into the building, because quite often, you know, these things are pretty heavy. And so, you know, a typical slide from us weighs around 1,600 pounds, something like that, maybe up to sort of 2,000 pounds. To get it like off the delivery truck and into place, you need a crane. But if, yeah, you know, you obviously can't dangle it through a roof, so you will often end up like dropping it by the door to the pool house, and then getting it in is a real challenge there. So that's more the problem in the UK. That doesn't mean we don't do outdoor slides here as well. We've done plenty, but in terms of your reference to our weather, yeah, that's
looks like it's sunny today.
Great challenge. It's not too bad today, actually. It's been terrible recently, but it's actually blue skies right now, so that's good. Yeah.
So can you talk about how the slides are made exactly? I know you know, starting with carbon fiber, and here you said the... Are you dealing with stainless, or what is the process?
Yeah. So they're made in... we don't just do stainless steel slides, so I can talk about the other stuff we do slightly separately, but I think the stuff we're best known for is stainless steel, metal slides. And they are mainly, but not always, made with just in stainless steel. So we use marine grade stainless steel. So that's the technical term for that is 316L stainless steel. And it is literally, the shape will be worked out. So I'm gonna take a couple of steps back. Actually, let me just do that. So they're not. It's not like these come off like a big press. It's not like kind of car body parts that just come out like the same every time. So they all have a handmade quality to them, which is rather lovely. But it also means that you can tailor them. So you know, if you wanted one that was, yeah, you like see something on a portfolio, I love that, but it just won't quite fit in ours. Can you make it turn like 10 more degrees this way or that? Yeah, that's fine. That can be done. If you wanted one slightly bigger, that can be done. Whatever. They can be customized. And so the process starts on the computer. So we model them in 3D computer software. And then when we're happy with that, it gets 3D printed. And then from the 3D print, the incredibly talented craftsman that we've got will then build a... they basically scale it up. They have this kind of 3D print that's like yay big, you know, like so maybe like a foot and a half across. And they will, using various measuring devices, will scale that up piece by piece. They take a long time, and this isn't something that gets done in a week. You know, they typically take 2 to 3 months to produce. From scouts, yeah. And they're there. You get sheets of stainless steel that are maybe sort of foot and a half by foot and a half square, that kind of size. And they are then shaped by hand, hammers, rollers, what have you, to get the shape. And then you literally just start building them up next to each other. And then you know, these guys literally using their eye will be like, oh no, that bit needs to be a bit more. And they'll shape it a bit more and put it up. And they just keep going and keep going until they've got this whole thing hanging together. And then it's welded shut and polished out. And it is quite an undertaking. But yeah, you can't tell really when you look at the fact. It blows my mind. You look at them, and you can't see where the joins are. You'd expect to see like a kind of, you know, like a jigsaw pattern or something on the outside where they've all been joined together, but you can't. It's they're completely smooth.
We were lucky enough to be part of a project that had one incorporated to it in Paradise Valley here in Arizona, and the first thing I saw, I looked at it, I said, that thing's got to be hot. But from what I understand, they have a cooling system. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you talk about
that? That's funny, actually. We won't talk about the details of that project, but I know the exact one you mean.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's only one pool slide of ours in Scottsdale, and I know exactly where that is. They get hot. As I'm sure you can imagine, you know, a lot of our clients who own these kind of things live in warm climates all around the world, not just in Arizona. And so we had to figure this out pretty quickly. Because they get really hot. They're like the U shape. Acts like a kind of a parabolic kind of mirror. And so they will warm up. But the solution, as is often the way with these things in life, is very simple. And it's just we recycle pool water through the slide. So it comes up through the handrails. So the handrails, as you climb up the steps, the handrails are cool to the touch because they've got water flowing through them. And then you'll probably see, if you spend any time looking at a portfolio, you'll see that the handrails actually continue all the way up and they stay at the edge and they run all the way down the side. So those have, so as you're going up the steps, they're just handrails. As you come down the steps to the other side, so as you come down the slide, there's just lots of little outlets and it feeds water out onto the surface of the slide to keep it cool. And they cool down really quickly. So, you know, that one in Scottsdale, I haven't been on that one personally myself, but I would take a guess that, yeah, on a day that's, you know, if it's 85 degrees outside and it's, you know, that slide will be, you'll stand at the top of that and it'll be, you know, you'll be thinking, oh my God, this is too hot to go down. You turn the water on and I would have thought within 15 seconds that thing will be cool enough to use. We've more recently started to add in an additional layer as well, so again it depends a little bit on the situation. We don't necessarily need to do this on an indoor slide in the UK, for example, but we've also now have another set of handrails inside the steps system, so it's hard without actually having pictures in front of us. You've got like a kind of outer handrails, we now have like an inner set of handrails, and those inner handrails are also water cooled, but they have tiny outlets that just feed water onto the steps so it keeps the steps cool, but at a much lower rate. So it's not just like flooding them, it's just like a more like a mist. And then those handrails also exit and they have more like a torrent, so it's just a bit more fun, you know, when you get the top of like a water park slide.
Sure.
And they have like a big torrent of water going down, so we've just incorporated that, and that's more of a recent thing. So that's been going out on our sort of in the last 6 months or so, we've been including those on our design set.
Did you say that the pool water is being fed through the slide?
Yeah.
So that has to be plumbed in somehow. So at some point you need to know where that thing's going to go.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So if you're thinking about, you know, from a trade person's point of view, if you're thinking about this, you really want to be getting in touch with us fairly early on, because certainly before you're laying the patio, before you're laying the deck, you want to know where the base of the steps is going to be. And so you can get your stub out in the right place. Sometimes our clients can think, oh, it sounds really complicated, but for you guys who are, you know, working in the pool industry and anyone's probably listening to this podcast will know it's not that difficult. You just you put a Y bend in the feed in the plant room and you take a feed off and it's like a, you know, 2-inch diameter pipe and you run it to the base of the slide and up it comes and you and it runs into the bottom there. The only other thing I would say at this stage is that the 316L stainless steel is extremely resistant to corrosion, but it's not completely immune. And so we now also encourage people to run a freshwater feed as well. And that can be the top up for the pool. What we're asking really is that every time you use the slide, you just run a fresh water cycle. It doesn't need to be for hours, you know, like 5 minutes or something. And that will help clean off any, you know, if you're using a saline pool, it'll clean off any salt residue. You don't really even want chlorine sitting on there too long and like in the little corners in the steps and that kind of thing. It just washes that off and helps keep the slide looking amazing for as long as possible. On the odd occasion, if you do get a little bit like a little rust spot or something, like you might do on your to a barbecue or something, as that kind of thing, then you can get rid of it. You can use basic things like lemon juice are pretty good at getting rid of stuff like that. But there's also some kind of branded cleaners out there that get rid of little tiny. I'm not talking like big spots of rust. I'm talking about pinheads of little bits of corrosion. So, but they're pretty. I wouldn't say they're maintenance free, but they're pretty low maintenance. And we would it's part of a pool maintenance schedule. If someone's coming round once a week, once a fortnight, whatever, once a month to sort of maintain or brush the pool out or clean the leaves out and do the filters and top up the chlorine levels. Then if they were just there just to kind of rinse the slide over, it didn't take long.
Nice. So let's geek out a little bit. I want to know, what are my options on these slides? What are some things I can do? Finishes?
Okay.
What can we do?
I was gonna take his jacket off. It's getting serious.
Robert sleeves. I'm gonna try and answer this question succinctly. But there's quite a lot of options. Yeah, you can do a lot of things with these, and that's partly because we have a very can-do attitude, but also partly because of the way they're made. Because we're not running off molds, we're making something for you each time. We can really sort of create something very bespoke for yourself. But in a sort of nutshell, I'll just go through quite quickly. So there's on a sort of at the lower end of our offering price-wise, what we call single skin slides. So where that means that basically the gutter that you're sliding down, the chute that you're sliding out is one sheet of metal thick, and the inside that you're sliding on is the outside face that someone else will see. So if someone's standing looking across the backyard, they will see the same piece of metal that you're sliding on. And whilst these are curvaceous and pretty nice to look at, they are less sculptural, I'd say, than the double skin slides that we do. And a double skin slide is where basically the gutter, the chute that you're sliding down, does not relate to the outside surface that the onlooker would see. And so with that in mind, you can do some really fun things. So you can kind of have that shape can kind of bulge out and curve and form different trajectories to the sliding surface on the inside. You end up with a much more sculptural opportunity. But of course, it's not exactly twice the work or twice the material, but it's not far off. And so you see quite a big price jump in terms of what we in terms of our price list. And so someone might look at it and think, hey, I don't understand. Why is this one this and why is this one only twice as much? That's basically why. The other options that are so we have surface mounted slides, and there are some that require a subsurface footing. So again, some of the more sculptural ones, the ones that look like they're about to fall over, they have a footing that goes into a big concrete slab underneath the deck. And that enables us to just have some fun with it, because you can put a big armature through there on a big footplate, and it enables you to do some really fun things with the shape and the trajectory of the slide. We also do some surface-mounted ones where they really just sit on the surface. So you can bring a crane and just sit it down the surface and bolt it down, and that's what we call think of as surface-mounted. Materials you touched on, most of them, like I said earlier, are done in 316L stainless steel. That's normally polished, but it doesn't have to be. You can do brushed finishes. We've done a few of those. We've done
copper,
some with bronze, copper. Yeah, exactly. So that's a really nice touch. And so we've done a couple of different versions of that. I mean, there's a few different ones on our website, but we've still have thus far used a stainless steel chute, but then just done an exterior fascia in copper. One of them we've done, and they very much wanted it to be a live copper finish. So it's the one I'm thinking of particularly is in our website. It's actually not a million miles from Baltimore, and the client there very much wanted it to take on a patina, a verdigris. So yeah, 20 years from now, it'll look like the Statue of Liberty. You know, it'll be green, yeah, and it'll look amazing. Yeah, except for areas where people have brushed past it or whatever, and sort of kept that copper patina. There's another one we're working on in Connecticut right now where the it's going to be copper, but we're going to lacquer the copper. So effectively, we're going to varnish that copper in, so it won't patinate any further. So basically, as the day is delivered, it'll still look like that.
Wow.
20 years from now. That's the idea. We also do some in fiberglass. I'll tell you a little bit. We've got a new brand that's coming out that is exclusively in GRP, and we're doing some colors in those. I think I'll perhaps talk about that separately in a second, but we do some very sculptural GRP stuff as well. And again, that can be it can be colored, it can be just as sculptural. Yeah,
what is GRP?
GRP fiberglass.
Oh.
So the typical, if you go to a water park, you'll the typical kind of flumes that come down in like, you know, bright yellow or whatever, that'll be fiberglass. It's just that the way they make those, they'll be made on a mold. So the inside surface is smooth, but the outside is that kind of crinkly, kind of rough, like fiberglass feel. And they don't hide any of the joins. So, at every intersection where the joins link up, there'll be a big flange with like bolts going all the way around it. And there's no structural integrity to that at all. So they'll have to have like big pylons standing up, like holding all those parts together. And you end up with, what's fun? It's a great fun experience for the kids. And it's a water park fun day out. But you wouldn't necessarily want one in your backyard because they don't look that great. And so what we do with some of these more the larger projects, I'm thinking of one in particular. We'll see, we're giving any names away, but in Florida we're doing a fantastic slide for someone who is building an extension to his house. Is kind of like have a mezzanine, third floor mezzanine off his bedroom, and he wants to be able to slide to breakfast. I kid you not. Oh, wow. Okay, so this is the length of the slide. It's going to be about 60 foot long, and which is way too big to do in metal. It's too big, too heavy. Just can't be done. So in that case, we're doing it in fiberglass, but it's still going to be sculptural. It's just because we're going to the way we do it means that we can conceal the structure required within a double skin of fiberglass. So instead of just having one molded surface, a bit like the single skin I mentioned earlier, we'll do a double skin fiberglass. So you'll have the inner surface that you slide on, and there'll be an outer surface, and the gap in between those will be full of engineering to keep it upright.
That's cool.
But it'll be delivered in parts, so that'll be made here, and it'll be delivered I don't know exactly off the top of my head how many parts it'll be delivered in, but it'll be put in a container and shipped, and that way it can be assembled on site, whereas something metal of that size would just be way too big, too heavy. So
I know you just walked us through a lot of the different features and materials of the slides, but you think you can like share the actual model names of your slides and kind of how each one of them is special in their own unique way?
The very first one we did was called Shoot, but you won't see that on our website now. Like I said, it's been taken off because it doesn't mean safe to go.
That's the one I want.
But that's the one you want. Yeah, fine. But that was quickly succeeded by one called Reflex. And the first Reflex we did was in the UK in London, and it was it's called Reflex because it turns back on itself very sharply. So this model is particularly effective when there's not a masses of deck space. So it can kind of, from a single point, you kind of climb up and then it turns very sharply and comes back, almost back on itself, and into the pool. So although the ride, the overall length of the thing is like 5 meters, 5.5 meters, something like that. The actual deck space involved is quite limited. So you can fit in like a corner of a pool or what have you. That quickly led to a design called Vertex, which you can see a pattern forming with the names here, but it was a kind of an extraction of that idea, which is because kind of it was straightened out. So it now takes up much more space. So it's a longer thing. I think it's about 6.5-7 meters long. But you really need that space off the back of the pool. So you need to have a decent deck at the back where you can actually just have the space to put something like this. Or it can run alongside, perhaps. And you can walk underneath both of these models. So the apex of the stairs is more than enough for you to walk underneath. So it needn't block kind of thoroughfare. In fact, it can add to it in many ways. It's quite fun to kind of have that interrupting the flow of people. Waha was quite an early one we did. So this was the first single skin one we did, which was the idea was to again to try and sort of bring the price point back a bit. And we're not trying to be cheap. We're not trying to do things that are cheap, clearly, but what we wanted to do was apply some of the ideas and principles and construction techniques to do something that didn't necessarily sit at the same price point. So it's still the same quality. It's still the same. It's still made by the same people, and it still has a lot of the inherent kind of in-house styling. It's just not quite so sculptural, and it's lighter, so it's easier to transport, and it's simpler to produce because it has that single skin. Sema is an even slightly smaller version of the Waha, so it's slightly shorter and it has a slightly shorter footprint. So we're really now developing something there that was able to sit in a smaller space as possible. And it's kind of our entry-level stainless steel slide. Flipping from there, our kind of flagship piece is called the Tryst, and it's arguably the most sculptural one we do, and it has this kind of swooping tail. So it acts like a tripod. You have the tail extends through to form a third touch point on the deck. You end up with this lovely ribbon-esque kind of flowing shape that is, yeah, really, I mean, unless you see the steps, it's quite easy for someone who sees it for the first time to actually ask what the hell is that?
It's beautiful.
Because, yeah. I don't know if you can see that on our website. It's quite an incredible thing. In fact, the photos, the main photos on our website there from that one are taken from projects in Canada, actually.
Nice.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place that's been installed. And I mean, what else have we got that's worth talking about? So Cascade's quite fun. That's a really good example of a custom sort of option for a client there who really liked a lot of the work we'd done, but nothing really fitted within her aesthetic. She had this rock, this kind of bank of rock, essentially, that was sort of coming down to the water's edge. And she wanted a slide to run down through it. And what we did there was like an interpretation of water flowing over rock. So you can kind of see in the size of the shape, it's kind of manifests itself in these rather kind of simplified but exaggerated flowing lines that come down, and we've used a different material again just to kind of break the transition from that kind of reflective, because it's not like a standalone piece on the deck, it's actually nestled into the rock, and so we felt that it was more appropriate to break that up a little bit in terms of the materiality, so you get this transition from the kind of shiny silver metal to kind of that dull yellowy rock feeling. So
beautiful, too.
The copper works really well there. Cadence is a very custom piece as well. That's the one that's really done one of those, and that is in Hawaii. That one's actually made from concrete. It was quite a journey figuring that all out, and we could still do concrete if someone really wants it, but I think we'd probably urge someone to have a concrete look in fiberglass, because with fiberglass we can get pretty close to that, you know, from all but like 6 feet away you'd think it was concrete, but you wouldn't have all the inherent problems that concrete comes with, you know, not least of which the weight, for shipping.
I can't even imagine how heavy that was.
Yeah.
Taking out a picture of it. That's huge.
It looks heavy.
It looks heavy.
Yeah. The Star Rider is quite fun. That's a very good example of another sort of those last three on the list in our website that I've just been through. They're all very custom. So Star Rider was actually an American architect working on a home here in the UK. And it was the most incredible interior they worked up there. It was absolutely beautiful. But the client really wanted a poolside. And again, they couldn't find anything that would work in terms of aesthetically, you know, off the shelf. And so we worked very closely with the architect to kind of come up with this. It locks in with their staircase that they build. But the client really wanted the client's a professional sportsman, and he wanted to race, you know, he wanted two lanes. So we did this kind of a very mirror image of each other.
It's at somebody's personal house.
Yeah. So,
looks like a hotel.
Yeah, it looks like a high end hotel.
Yeah. It's a pretty fancy house, yeah. That's true.
So you have probably the last one, that downtime one.
It looks like the Barbie slide.
It does. So this is our newest venture. We've got it on here, but it is actually a standalone brand in its own right. And if you go to if you follow the link in there to, if you go to downtimes, oh, there you go, there is a link there. Yeah, if you go to downtime slides, there's a link there. You'll open up a website that is dedicated to these. This is our first, hopefully of many, designs under the downtime brand name. That these are not metal; these are all in fiberglass. The intention is very much to offer people something that is at a very different price point, but still really fun and interesting to look at, and kind of sculptural, and colourful, and definitely a big, big step up from the other things that are available on the market, but just perhaps not quite into the Splinterworks price point. So
yeah, these are very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, they're going to be available in colors. So we're offering them in a kind of curated set of colors there. There's like five different colors that you can have just off the shelf from us. But yeah, the truth is you can have any color you want. So yeah, there's a massive range of options if you wanted to kind of dig into that as a client. They're much quicker. So whereas a metal Splinterworks slide takes, in some circumstances it can be quicker, but typically it's 5 to 6 months from initial phone call to having something installed. And sometimes it can be years. But, you know, 5 to 6 months is typical, whereas these we're hoping will be in the US 5 weeks, something like that, from order.
Great.
They'll come in parts that you can assemble on site. I mean, you I would have thought most people would have a contractor do it for them, but you know, if you've got four able-bodied people who are kind of who are up for it, you'll be able to put this together.
Just a ratchet and a rubber mallet and you're there.
Exactly that, you know, just hammer it into position. Exactly. They don't. They will have the option to have cooling, but you won't need it in the same way because they won't get hot in the same way. So it's more like. So if you touch this, on a hot day, if you touch the side of a boat hull, it's going to be like that kind of thing. So yeah, once you've got a bit of water on there, and you've gone up and down, and you in your swimming trunks, and you splash a bit of water on there after the first couple of runs, it'll be fine. It doesn't need cooling. Even though you can run water to it, so you can have them
in that habit. In that piece of advertisement, you can't see any like sections. Will it be that?
Is that a rendering? Obviously,
yeah. That's actually a rendering. In reality, you can see lines, but they're pretty subtle. So, unlike, again, I'm not going to name any names here, but looking at the other kind of things that are available, they have like they're very big joints, and they're designed in such a way that those joints are there to sort of offer a lot of wiggle room,
sure,
we call it, you know, whereas this is a much tighter fit. So yeah, and it's intentionally so, you know, it's taken us a lot of work to get those joints really tight. I mean, you will be able to see them, but you know, there's not going to be any visible, you know, there'll be some very subtle fixings, but it's not like big bolts everywhere. Right. It'll look pretty much like that.
Beautiful.
In those renderings. We're still taking the core principles of SplinterWorks. Yeah, keeping it sculptural, keeping it, you know, no visible fixings or that kind of stuff, and keeping it fun. But it's just about like half the price.
Wow.
So that's the goal. Yeah. So, you know, they're still very much luxury items, but they are, yeah, so the equivalent of, it's very similar to our Waha design from SplinterWorks. In fact, it's based upon that, which is the Waha's our most popular and tried and tested design. It works really well. And so this is basically a fiberglass version, but we can do them in color.
Beautiful.
Awesome. So everybody's wondering how much of these things cost, these luxuries.
Yeah. So the metal slides are they're not cheap, but the entry point in US dollars. So this price is delivered. So we don't, if you come on to us and you ask for a price, we don't give like it's this. Oh, but then you got to add on state tax, and then it's, oh, you got to add on duty, and then you got to add on delivery. Yeah, the delivered price, including all the duty paid, delivered to your door, starts at around $75,000. And goes up, you know, all the way. A typical price is in the sort of 130, 140, that kind of ballpark. And it goes right up to the Trist, which is just south of 200. Beautiful. So, and I often say this to people, it's an expensive pool slide. I get that. But actually, for kind of large scale outdoor sculpture, it really isn't that unreasonable. Yeah, these are big items, and they are, yeah, quite artistic.
If your pool didn't cost $75,000, you probably shouldn't get one of these slides.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think exactly what you said. I think you treat it like a sculpture. I mean, I think the people that are buying this are treating it like a sculpture. That's right in the realm of what you pay.
Yeah. You can buy a wristwatch that costs more than that. Yeah, it's not about where you see the value. You know, it's not, you know, so if you're not in the market for a cheap plastic pool saw, you want something different. But lots of people who are our clients are either grandparents or their parents, and they have kids, and they've invested heavily in making this beautiful pool area, but they still got kids. Those kids still want to mess around and have fun, and so putting something like a slide in becomes, you know, so the kids are kind of lobbying for, you know, they really want one, but there's a lot of resistance for these things because they don't fit with the aesthetic that these people have worked really hard to create, and not least of which spend a lot of money to create, you know. So that's kind of, you know, where we fit in there, really. The downtime, like I was saying earlier, is about half that. So downtime's around 45, including delivery. So
okay, super reasonable. Yeah. Greg will take two.
Yeah.
So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but walk us through, if you know, let's say I incorporate one into my design here in the States. Like, yeah, walk me through the, you know, how do I get it from design to here? Is it basically reach out 5 to 6 months ahead? And what is that process like?
Yeah, so let's talk about them slightly separately. So let's talk about SplinterWorks first. So in terms of SplinterWorks, it's quite an involved process. We can like get involved and guide and work with you. If you want something very custom, it'll take a little bit longer. But essentially the process is, yeah, obviously it all starts with a phone call or an email. But if, you know, what really the first step is for us is we always seem to be asking for drawings to see how deep the pool is, because yeah, if your pool's only 4 foot deep, it's going to be a problem. So we really need it's 4.5, 5 feet minimum, and we're much happier if you've got 6 feet. If you've got 6 feet depth, the deep end, we can have some real fun, and you can basically access all the models we offer. But once we assess that you've got that depth, we'll look at the drawings with you, and we'll offer you some options of what's going to fit. So we'll take your plans and we'll show you what we've got, or what we could do that will fit within your scheme. And we work with designers and end users alike. It really doesn't matter at this stage, but we're not charging. We're just kind of, we just want to get over those initial hurdles, because there's no point in taking money for a design fee if you immediately find that nothing's going to fit. So, but if you're happy with what we're suggesting is going to fit, and you're happy with the price, then we start what we call a site-specific design phase, which is where we can then customize this to suit your needs. And it may be that it doesn't need customizing, but more often than not, it does. And in some way or another, you know, someone will want to have put their own spin on it, and we can really tailor this to meet your needs. We can work with your pool contractors to figure out exactly what's required in the grounds, both in terms of like groundwork to water supply, that kind of thing. That process can take as little as, you know, a week or like 10 days, but more often than not, that process takes a month. And sometimes, again, it can take a lot longer. But once we've got to the point where you're happy with the design, we then take a production deposit to start making the thing. And then actually, in fairness, things tend to go a little bit quiet with us, because we'll have done all the work up until that point to get to the design. Once the design's signed off, we just need to get on and make the thing. And you'll probably start to hear from us again like 2 weeks out from production being completed, and we'll get in touch and we'll be saying, look, you know, we're nearly ready to ship. Is everything ready on site? Taking advice, we have our own installations team who are there to advise you. And in some cases, if it's a very complicated project, we can, you know, send them out to be there and actually sort of be there on the day. But actually, despite what they look like, they're not actually that complicated to fit. You know, you hang them off a crane and you hang them into position, and you drill through into the concrete, into the foundations, and you put threaded bar down, and then you screw them down. I'm obviously massively simplifying it, but it's
sure
it isn't actually that complicated. You know, with two people would do this in an afternoon, but most people would take a day to do it because they won't be rushing. Anyway, just going back here. So once we're ready to ship, again, we take the sort of a third payment to ship. It would come to you guys typically 5 to 7 weeks, depending on where you are in the US. Yeah, some places are harder to reach than others. We've just done a project recently in Kansas that was the hardest to get to, that kind of went up the Mississippi, and then is it the Missouri, and then kind of
donkey
went across the oceans on a boat, and then got to New Orleans, and then got put on a barge and went up the river. Oh, wow. It's actually incredible. But and then they'll arrive at your house basically in a big metal cage. It's like a protective shipping cage, and that's the point really at which ownership switches from us to you, and you lift it off. And do you want me to go into a little bit of the installation? Do you want me to talk you through that?
Sure.
Keep going on this? Yeah, sure. So the crane would kind of hold the sides off the lorry in place off the lorry, so it doesn't like topple over if it's one of those designs that doesn't stand up on its own. And meanwhile, you kind of cut the cage away. The crane then moves the thing into position. And you've got a little bit of leeway here. You know, we'll have said, okay, you know, we'll have given drawings about where this thing needs to go. But if you're stood there with your client, they're like, oh, you know, actually, can we just move it 6 inches to the left or whatever? That's completely fine. Normally, it's completely fine to do that kind of thing. I mean, with the best will in the world, we do what we can on the computers here to kind of visualize and help people get things in, make sure they're in the right place. But, you know, quite often, you just can't tell for sure. And it might actually be that it could just look so much better if it's just twisted slightly or what have you on site, and that's fine. And then, yeah, we use these chemical anchored fixings, which basically, you know, are like a big threaded bar that you just drill, you know, drill down as this concrete substructure, again, which we'd have given drawings for. And yeah, once those are in place, the slide sits on top of them, you bolt it down. Just thinking of quite a few things. I was just going to tell you a bit of a fun story about we did a I mean, most of the time these things get delivered on a truck and there's a crane that just lifts it off and puts it in place. But there was this one project we did in Atlanta, and I forget the exact reasons why, but I think the previous owner of the house, for whatever reason, had kind of big security concerns. And so the backyard was impenetrable. You could not get in there. And the house was a lovely house, but it was quite deep. And so we couldn't get a crane with a long enough reach to get over the house into the backyard. And the client of ours had a very candid attitude. And in the end, we got a helicopter to deliver the thing. No. It was absolutely incredible. Yeah, yeah. And so the delivery truck turned up at the front, outside the front of the house. The guys, the contractors, cut the cage away, as I've just described, and the helicopter company had a representative there. And, you know, when it was all ready, they get on the radio or whatever, you know, smoky, whatever, we're ready to go. Can I come in? And I think, like, within, like, 8 minutes, the helicopter was overhead. They dropped the rope. They put they sling this thing up and go. And it was absolutely incredible. We
all in the infantry.
We thought that this was... we thought this was going to be, like, Instagram gold. So we actually hired a videographer to go there that day to film this thing going in. It happened. I mean, of course, you didn't really think about it with a crane, but of course, with a helicopter, the entire operation hinges on time in the air, right? So they're as quick and efficient as they can possibly be. So this guy, our video guy, got there. He films them slinging it in the front drive, and then the helicopter goes. And it took him so well, not that it took him a long time, but by the time it got into the backyard to see that it being gone, the helicopter had unsling this thing and was going. And so we had this, like, we'd paid this guy to turn up and shoot video. And all we had was a video of it being picked up and taken away, and then the slide on the ground and the helicopter leaving. And we were like, oh,
10 God. Seconds of video.
Like, not even that. Not even that. And, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was so funny because we edited what we could and we put together this story best we could. So we had this little video for Facebook or Instagram, whatever. And I thought just out of courtesy and kind of joint marketing effort, I would phone the company, the helicopter company, to say, hey, look, we're about to put this thing, do you mind if we mention your name on this? And they were like, no, not at all, that'd be great. Yeah, they'd mention us, that'd be great. Oh, and by the way, you should speak to Mike, he got some great footage of who's Mike? And she's like, well, Mike's the winch guy, and he had his brand new iPhone X or something, whatever it is, that day, and he took loads of great video, you should call him. I was like, oh my God, can I have Mike's number? She's like, of course you can. Anyway, the long and short it was that Mike has got this amazing footage, literally from between his legs, looking down the rope at the slide as we go over the house. And so actually, if you look on our website and or our Instagram, you'll see this video. And thanks to Mike. Thanks, Mike. We have this great video.
It's a good thing you didn't call in and be like, can you tell your helicopter driver to slow down?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I actually got footage. Oh, never mind. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, testament to these helicopter pilots. I mean, I wasn't there to see it, but I wasn't there to see it. But I mean, apparently, the guy came in, like, hovered over place. There's a guy going left a bit, right a bit, left a bit, and he just literally dropped it like to within like an inch of where it needs to be. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. Bearing in mind, this thing's on like a sort of 80 foot long rope or whatever it was. Have you ever done like hook a duck and you're just trying to kind of catch like some little thing on the end of a rope? You know how hard that is. Yeah, imagine doing that.
Crazy.
Absolutely amazing.
You know, so, you know, we have a lot of pool builders and pool service companies, and I think they both equally have opportunities to sell these slides, you know, given an opportunity to be presented with the right customers. Do you have any advice or, you know, maybe what to look out for or even how to sell one of these slides? Maybe there's certain things that you're looking for in a backyard or even just the customer's, you know, taste and aesthetic and art. And obviously you should be able to know whether they might be able to afford it or not. Not that you know their finances, but sure. This, you know.
Yeah. That's a really good question. I mean, I think aside from the things I mentioned earlier, like the pool depth and the space required, there isn't really much. I mean, we've installed these in a really wide variety of places. So in terms of people's aesthetic, I think that it just needs to be down to them. I think you just need to show them and see if they like it. Because we know very quickly, you know, people look at the picture and they're either going to go, wow, I love that. Or they'll just be like, yeah, it's not for me. I mean, the biggest challenge really, I think, with the trade in the pool industry is that nobody knows these things exist. So with designers, you know, people don't even think to look for it is the problem, because they have it in their head that a pool slide is this kind of blue plastic piece of crap or whatever that is going to be ugly, and there's no way they're including it on their design for their client. So I think the thing now is that, yeah, if you've got a client, it's more about whether they have grandparents or a family and they've got kids and they want to have a fun place for people to be and hang out. That's probably the biggest key to look out for. Yeah, if you've got people who want things that look nice and function nicely and they are into nice things, but they also want to have fun, that's probably the key thing for us, because that's what's going to motivate someone to spend the money that's required here.
I say that too because it's such a unique looking design, and if you could present that to somebody at the very beginning of sort of that design concept discussion, you'd be able to kind of, you know, manipulate the landscaping and the pool to how the slide's going to look. Because I could see somebody wanting this slide, but way too late. And it's like, we're going to have to redo the whole entire design to make this work.
You're absolutely right. And so you know, if you've got a client, the key is getting in touch earlier.
Sure.
Yeah. Because if you're planning a big landscape remodel or just a kind of, if you're building a house or that kind of thing, then if it's left too late, then too many decisions have been made, right? And it's just hard to unravel these things, even if you fall in love with the idea of one of these slides. But you've already made, I don't know, commitments and decisions that have led you down a slightly different path, and means it's not going to be possible. Then it's difficult to go back on that. Whereas if right from the start, you know, if you're designing, you're starting on a project, and you got some fun clients you think might be into this kind of thing, mention it nice and early on, and if they're into it, then everything can be overcome with a bit of time from the start, I think. So, I mean, the downtime ones are easier, in fairness, because they don't necessarily, but they don't require big concrete footings in the ground. They don't require water supplies. They don't really even require the same access because they come in parts. You know, two people can pick, you know, they come in like four parts and two people can pick up each part and walk it through a doorway. So in that respect, there's a lot less planning involved with the downtime, and you can leave it a little bit later. But even so, there's no harm in sort of speaking to us a bit sooner.
So outside of the downtime slides, which is awesome, I think everybody should check that out. Do you have any new products that might apply to the pool space that you're thinking about? Any new designs? I personally think you should tackle fire features and water features next.
That would be
I think it would be a great compliment to your stuff.
Oh, do you think? Yeah, that's interesting. So we've actually just done a couple of water features. They haven't been installed yet. So we've done, we've made one, and it's sitting in our warehouse waiting to be installed here in the UK, and that will be up on our website fairly soon. What was the other thing you mentioned?
Features, like slide through a ring of fire.
Oh, cool.
So right now, there's a really popular feature here that's being installed everywhere, and it's a cantilever fire tray. So it's like they're using, I forget what the steel is called, but it's high temp steel. And so it's like, you know, shaped like a letter 7, where it's got a single point, and they're built out of steel. So I think you could improve on that with your single skin design. I think you guys, it'd be a great compliment to the slide.
I think so too.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
I have absolutely no design background or experience, so I don't know how much that weighs, but I think it'd be cool.
He's got good taste.
Yeah. I mean, like a kind of fire pit kind of thing. Is
sure.
That a thing?
Yeah.
I like Greg's idea of, of like sliding through like a hoop of fire. I mean, that can have to be organized as well, right?
No safety whatsoever.
Yeah, not at all. Call it the circus.
It may surprise you to learn that actually they don't mention hoops of fire in the slide safety code, right? So if they don't mention it, then we're free to go, right? Yeah,
exactly. That's your fault, not mine.
give it a year or so, it'll be in there. Yeah. So to answer your question a bit more seriously, I mean, in fairness, we do have another new design that is just in the kind of process in terms of metal stuff that's being done. It is actually, if you go to our website, it's in the Future Works section. It's the first one you see there. It's called Riven, and it's a render of a slide in a kind of desert Arizona-esque kind of setting. I don't know if you can see that, in copper and steel. And the idea is there's two of these actually. There's Riven, which has this kind of wavy copper shape to it on the outside, and there's another version of a very similar principle called Apex, which is just the image underneath it. And we've shown that, and like it's another render. It's in like a snowy alpine setting, and these are two designs that are really born from a direction where we want to make things that stand up in their own right. So rather than making pieces that touch the ground in only two places, these are very specifically designed so that they have like a tripod and they can stand up on their own. Cool. And we quite like this kind of slightly kind of ray, kind of cobra ray-esque kind of footing at the bottom where that kind of like the sculpture splits out and kind of stands there with its two feet. So those are literally the first ones are being developed right now. We'll probably see our first ones of those installed in the spring next year. But also in truth, the downtime has taken a lot of, it's been a big labor of love for the last year or so getting that ready. It's it looks simple, but it's pretty complicated to make it look that simple. And so there's a lot of work gone into that, and we're pretty focused on getting that launched now. I mean, we've just taken the first handful of orders. I mean, we literally launched it. Downtime is fresh. I mean, that was launched like 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just gathering pace now. So that's the big focus. But yeah, we're not going to stop developing new metal slides. Yeah, it's a really interesting and part of the work, and we're still at the core part of our business. So yeah.
So one of our favorite things to ask everyone who's in pool biz that comes on is their favorite pool or favorite project. You got a pool that you've been to that sticks out in your mind?
We've worked on necessarily, or just any pool of any description? Okay. Am I allowed to say one that I've not been to? Is that okay?
As long as it's not the sky pool.
Oh, really?
Well, it's kidding.
Well, that is actually it. No, actually, is it? Yeah. It's the one in London. The bridges, the two buildings. I've got to go and see that. I just can't believe I haven't done that yet. I really want to go and see that. I've been on to the. I know these things are kind of all over the place. But I stayed at a hotel in Hong Kong that had one of these pools that kind of exited the side of the building, and you could kind of swim out and like look through the glass at the bottom. And it was very cool, but I just think the architectural audacity of that one, the Sky Bridge, is just insane. I think that's absolutely amazing. I mean, the other one I have to say that's possibly not as well known, but also the Soho Farmhouse pool in the UK in the Cotswolds. Are you guys familiar with that?
I'm not.
No. So you know Soho House, yeah? The kind of,
yeah.
Yeah, that, sure. The sort of fancy hotel and sort of drink spot. They have a place here in the Cotswolds in the UK called the Soho Farmhouse. And it's, being in the UK, it's indoors, but it's not all indoors. It's partly indoors, partly outdoors. And this is nothing new in itself. I mean, I've been to plenty of hotels in like ski resorts or what have you that, you can swim out into the outdoors. But this one has a particularly cool doorway, and it's like a garage door, so you're like a garage, like a typical kind of garage door that kind of folds up in one piece. Imagine that on a beautifully beautifully aesthetic way they've done it. It's not like a garage door at all, but it has the function of a garage door, and it looks really cool. It's kind of this big like plate. It's like a crinkled glass. You know what I mean by that? Like kind of metal beams in the glass panels, and it all just kind of, it's very nice. Google it. Soho Farm.
Okay.
There you go. That's possibly a bit more original than the Skybridge. How about that?
I thought the Skybridge was just, that was the easy one for you because you're right there. So
yeah, and I've not been terrible really. There's a couple of pools on our website that are absolutely incredible. I had been very fortunate to go to some pretty amazing places.
Sure.
So we're very lucky in that respect. But yes.
Well, thank you so much, Miles. We really appreciate your time and congrats on the success. And we look forward to doing this again. You know, after this gets released, I'm sure it's going to get a flood of views on the Instagram and website and all that stuff. And hopefully we can see more installed in our backyards. We can.
That'd be great. And I look forward to coming out. And yeah, Arizona's a great place. I've only been once, but it left a very lasting impression on me. And I've absolutely an amazing place. Loved it. And I look forward to an opportunity to come out and see that slide in Scottsdale, but also maybe if we can do a follow-up, maybe I could sit in the studio with you guys. That'd be great someday.
Absolutely.
Yes, that would be great. Just avoid the summertime because it's 115, 120 here right now.
Brutal.
Is it? Extreme.
Oh, that's brutal.
All right. Thanks,
that sound pretty bad. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Take care. The best.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. You can find everything discussed in this episode and more in our show notes below or poolchasers2.0.com. This episode was produced by the amazing Kyle Auld. I'm Greg Viafania, and you've been listening to the Pool Chasers Podcast.